for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Spring Camp Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, April the 3rd, 2015. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service teaching on Overcoming the Spirit of Fear.
Praise the Lord! Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Jeremiah singing up here reminds me the first time I heard Kyle sing in a PTA meeting. There was about 200 people, and I was president of the PTA. And I was so, when I'd get in front of people, you wouldn't believe this, but I flunked speech in college because a guy in the back laughed at me, and he would make fun of me, and I just would forget what I was going to say. So I was president of the PTA when he was in the first grade, and he was to sing My Country, 'Tis of Thee, and he had a George Washington costume. And his daddy told him, now, when you sing, son, he said, just look at the wall in the back, and then you won't get nervous. And he was going, My country. He was so cute, I tell you. That was his debut. Bless the Lord. Well, this message, the purpose of this message is to teach you once and for all how to overcome fear. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, we come before you. And, Lord, we just confess that you're the King, you're the Lord. I pray that I'll be a tree of life, that rivers of living water will come forth from my innermost being. Father, I bind you, Satan. I bind principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in the heavenly places. I bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. I forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, this camp, the ministries represented here, our homes, our families, our children, our marriages. Everything that concerns us, we declare you're bound in Jesus' name. We bind and break every word of death, every word of iniquity, every curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord in Jesus' name. And so I've taught this message before, but kind of differently. The purpose of this message is for you to overcome fear once and for all. You know, the Lord taught me some years ago when Kyle's youngest brother was living a homosexual lifestyle, and I had just watched a crack documentary, and I was driving along, and the devil said, "What if Todd takes crack?" And I went, but the Holy Spirit just quickened my heart. But I said, "But Lord, in the name of Jesus, if that's the only way he can know you is to take crack, I ask you in the name of Jesus, give him crack. But devil, you get your hands off of him. In Jesus' name." And God used that incident to cause me to be able to overcome fear. Not that fear doesn't come sometime, but if it does, I say, "Lord, you hear what the devil's telling me? God, if that'll bring you greater glory and honor, so be it. But devil, you're bound in Jesus' name." Now, how many of you know that God wants to be glorified? Well, if you're living to glorify the Lord, this is good news. Because when you pray like that, 1 John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence you can have toward him, that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you, and if he hears you, you already have what you ask for." So when you pray like that, it's really the perfect love that casts out fear. You're really saying, "God, I trust you so much with my life. You know if this is supposed to happen or that's supposed to happen. You know what I need, if I need it, when I need it, when to give it to me. But don't give it to me if it's not you." This works like if you feel rejected. Lord, and we've all been rejected. I tell you, if you don't want to compromise, compromisers don't want to be around you. They stay away. They put walls up. Family members you love so much, don't ever hear from them because they know that what you're standing for. And you know, I try to be nice, I try to be quiet, but even when I'm quiet, I'm preaching. I don't have to say a word and I'm preaching. Anyway, so God wants you to live free of fear. Did you know that you can live free of fear in this world? But the key is you've got to want God's will, His way, His purpose, His plan more than your own. We get fearful because we want things a certain way and we're trusting that to make us happy, or we're trusting that to cause us to, we want to be a success in the world, or we want to be loved, we want to be accepted, we want to be valued, we want to make money, we want this, we want that, we want this. She said last night that pride was spelled P-R, capital I-D-E. And the Lord showed me that I had so much pride that I had an I problem, a capital I problem, which gave me an E-Y-E problem. But I'm repenting in Jesus' name. But God wants you to live free of fear. To overcome fear, you'll never overcome fear until you give up your life. Your life is whatever you're wanting to make you happy. Your life is your family. It's your job. It's your success in the world. It's your social standing. It's whatever you think you have to look good in this world or to make yourself happy. You have to let it go. You have to let it all go. And you have to choose God's plan over your own plan. Somebody told me when I was sharing with them recently about fear, they said, well, a certain preacher said, well, you can repent all you want to of fear, but you have to cast it out. Let me tell you something. The times I've said, Lord, if that'll bring you greater glory and honor for this bad thing to happen, you hear what the devil's telling me? God, I live for your glory, and if that'll glorify you the most, so be it. But devil, you can't touch me. For how dare you think you can touch anyone who's in the hands of God? And that's the perfect love that casts out fear. And so when fear comes, that's what I do. Lord, you hear what he's saying? You hear what he's saying? And the minute I make an altar and give up that idol or those idols, can I tell you, fear leaves and nobody has to cast it out, because perfect love casts out fear. And that's the perfect love, the perfect trust that's trusting God, and it'll cast out fear. And if you'll make an altar in every area that you fear and really mean it. Now, some things you may have to do it more than once. I remember some things I had to do more than once, but you keep doing, what did you say, Randy, at the Beaumont seminar? You said you keep on saying it till it sticks.
Repent till it sticks.
Repent till it sticks. And that's true. And so every fear in our life has to be overcome if we're going to be overcomers in Christ Jesus. You know, if you didn't have anything to overcome, you couldn't be an overcomer, could you? And so Job, the reason every fear has to be dealt with is because Job said in Job 3:25, what you fear comes upon you, and what I dreaded befell me. And so when I fear, I'm prophesying over my life what is going to happen, because I have what I say. 365 times God said words like, fear not, be anxious for nothing. It wasn't an option, it was a command. And we live in a world that is fear-driven. You know, the prince of the power of the air is still the prince of the power of the air. Goliath is still taunting believers because they're watching. God tells us in Proverbs 4, watch over your heart, for from it flow the issues of life. Did you know you're a spiritual garden? Whatever, if the word of God is seed and words are seed, you're planting, every day you're planting seeds of fear, seeds of lust, seeds of strife, seeds of whatever that's contrary to the word of God, because you're not watching over your heart. We're to watch over our heart. We're to watch what's planted in our heart, because the movies, how many of you know that Hollywood, the news media, and all of these different media sources are owned by the One World Order? You know, the devil knows that if he can get believers into fear, he's got them. You know, David had no fear. He stood up. He said, how dare you? I come in the name of the commander-in-chief of all the armies of heaven. And Goliath is a type of Satan. And Satan knows if he can get us into fear, he's got us. He's got us out of our position in the heavenly places. That's why that fear in all the movies and the talk shows and the television, the internet, that's why you get all these scary emails. I tell you, I just delete. I used to read those things, and I'm telling you, for about 30 minutes, I just go, oh! And then I have to say, well, Lord, if that'll bring you greater glory and honor for me to go into a concentration camp, so be it. Let me go as your ambassador. Let me go with a purpose. How many of you know that you can't be anywhere unless God puts you there? If you love the Lord, your steps are ordered by the Lord. You couldn't miss God if you wanted to, if you're yielded to the Lord. But if you're not yielded to the Lord, guess what? Who you're yielded to. And so God and Satan knows how to defeat us, is to get us into fear. Because if perfect love casts out fear, imperfect love brings fear. And so God wants us to love Him and trust Him perfectly. Now, fear, anxiety, and stress will destroy your immune system. Your body's made in such a way, and we have a doctor here on the front row, so I hope I don't say anything wrong. But cortisol is a good thing. It's produced in a fight-or-flight situation. When in a stressful situation, your body produces cortisol, which is a good thing. But if you live in a fight-flight situation constantly, 24/7, you're in stress, it'll destroy your immune system. And it's the root of autoimmune diseases. If you have an autoimmune disease, it's rooted in fear, anxiety, and stress. So the solution to healing is to get fear, anxiety, and stress out of your life. And so, and you know, without Jesus living in this world, one would be absolutely hysterical without the Lord. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all knowledge, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Now, that's not an option. That's a command, to be anxious for nothing. So how do we be anxious for nothing? Well, that verse tells us, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasseth all knowledge, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And so it's possible. Is it possible to live in a world that we live in that's fear-driven, fearless, without any fear? And it's possible, yes, because Isaiah 26:3 says, He will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on Him because you're trusting in Him. Proverbs 26:7 says, if a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I know some of you maybe get tired of me quoting that scripture, but I'm hanging on to that scripture. Because you're living in a world, you hear about Ebola, you hear about ISIS. You know what? If your ways please the Lord, you don't have to worry about any of that, but you better make sure your ways are pleasing the Lord. Don't think because you prayed a prayer, like Nikki said, or Kyle said, don't think because you prayed a prayer that you got your ticket punched. The doctrines that once saved, always saved is the most damnable doctrine, and it's sending so many believers to hell. So many believers, you know, Leonard Ravenhill says 99% of church members are lost. Howard Pittman said 90%. Someone told me lately that Howard Pittman's even changed that to 99%. I didn't hear that part, but I've heard him say the other. Isaiah 35 talks about a highway of holiness, and it says no lion, no fool, no unclean, no mass murderer, no one world order person, no criminal, ISIS, can walk that highway of holiness. And the scripture says in Proverbs that the highway of the upright is to turn from evil. So if you want to stay on that highway, you have to keep turning from evil. These scriptures, I'm telling you, these scriptures are a comfort to my heart. And Psalms 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, you're my fortress, you're my God, you're my refuge. You deliver me from the snare of the trapper, the noisome pestilence, the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that stalks at noontime. Well, that's Ebola. You cover me with your pinions. 1,000 falls at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it'll not come near me. I'll only look on with my eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Why? Because I make the Lord my refuge. I'm not making success in this world a refuge. I'm not making a refuge out of you've got to love me. I'm not making a refuge out of you've got to value me. I'm not making a refuge out of the world system. I'm not making a refuge out of doctors or psychiatrists. My refuge is in the Lord. And then it goes on to say, I tread on the lion, the devil, the young lion, the serpents. I trample down. And it goes, and before that it says, because I make the Lord my refuge, no evil will befall me. No evil will befall me. And no plague will come near my dwelling. So if I've got a plague in my dwelling, I need to find out how it got there. Because someplace I haven't made God a refuge. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous can run into it and are safe. Now, you can't get in there with unconfessed sin in your life. We've all got stuff that we need to repent of. I can tell you today, Jesus is Lord and Master of my life. There's not one area I have not submitted to Him, but He looks down on me and He sees so much junk He's not yet shown me. And I don't just run around looking for the junk because I'm legalistic. I want to decrease so that God can increase in my life. I want to know Him better. I want to change from glory to glory and strength to strength. And the only way you can do that is to continually live a lifestyle of confessing your sins. Because God is faithful and just, and He forgives you of your sin, and He cleanses you of all unrighteousness. And there's so many scriptures that tell you that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And some things we need to see about fear. Fear is a sin, and it does not please God. Hebrews 11 says, he who comes to God without faith, it's impossible to please God, but whoever comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Fear is a demon. You know, there's a lot of people that don't think they need deliverance, but if you have one demon, if you have one fear, you've got demons. Because around every idol is lots of demons. There's hundreds of different fears. You can cast out the spirit of fear, I won't be loved, but you still have fear of failure, fear of this, fear of that, fear of that. Each one has to be cast out individually as you lay down the idolatry. Perfect love, cast that thing out. You don't even have to have a deliverance minister. Oh, I know I started to say, when I pray that way, I can honestly tell you that I don't ever remember when I've said, Lord, are you hear what the devil's telling me? If it would bring you greater glory and honor for that to happen, let it happen. But devil, you can't touch me. And I don't remember ever saying, devil, get out of here. Because that is the perfect love that casts out fear. Am I perfect? No, but in that area, I laid down that idol. I have the perfect love that casts out fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Fear is rooted in idolatry. In Deuteronomy 32, it talks about Jezreel, which was the people of God. It says they grew fat, which means they produced from the flesh. And which means they became so callous, their hearts became so hardened that they couldn't hear God and they produced from the flesh. You know, all of us, we've been geared and trained up to walk after the flesh. That's the thing that God's trying to kill in all of us. It goes on to say, because they worshiped idols, they worshiped demons. It says that in Revelation 9:20. They worshiped demons. And because of that, they provoked God to anger, and He turned them over to jealousy. He turned them over to anger. He turned them over to fear, terror, torment. And it's idolatry. And then it goes on at the end of Deuteronomy 32 and says, God will have mercy on them when He sees their strength is gone, when they lay down their idolatry. Fear is a curse. Curses are carried out by demons, and holy angels carry out blessings. Deuteronomy 28:6 and 28:15 says, because of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments, He brings all these curses on us. and it lists about 54 different curses, but one of them is Deuteronomy 28:66 says, "And thy lies shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and have no assurance for your life. Fear is the fruit of wearing the wrong yoke." Now, yokes go around your neck, right? And so that could cause, if I've got a yoke on my neck that don't fit, if it's not the yoke of Jesus, can I tell you it's a grueling, chafing, annoying thing? And so the only yoke that fits our neck is the yoke of Jesus, which comes on, but when we come under his control, then our life has, we have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, which is the opposite of fear, faith, meekness, and self-control. And so it's the fruit of wearing the wrong yoke. And it says that in Romans 8. It says, if you live after the flesh, if you walk after the spirit, it goes on to say, for if you're living according to the flesh, you will die. But if you're living, if you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It goes on to say, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, for you have not received a spirit of slavery. King James says bondage. So there's a yoke right there, leading to fear again. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, which is the opposite of being led by the Spirit of God. And that's a yoke of slavery that causes your life to be dominated by a spirit of fear. It's like you're constantly, yes, fear, yes, fear. You just, it's constantly, you're constantly bowing down to a demon of fear. Can I tell you that the devil is, God uses the devil? That's, the Bible says that. All things are created by him and for him, and there wasn't anything that was created that was made by him and for him. He's created the wicked to judge, the smith to blow the coals. And there's other scriptures too. And so when I'm wearing, when I have a yoke on my neck of fear, that can cause neck problems, that can cause me, my life to be dominated by a spirit of fear. Fear is what the devil tells you instead of what God's telling you. Fear, like faith, demands a response. You know, in Hebrews 12:1, it says, we're surrounded by such a so great a cloud of witnesses. There's holy angels and demon powers that are watching us. The Bible says, bless the Lord, you his soul, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who watches over his word to perform it. So the angels are watching you to see if you're going to walk in the word, and the demons are going to watching you to see if you're going to walk contrary to the word. Fear, like faith, demands a response. Fear will be the number one killer of people in these last days. Luke 21:26. Right now, the number one killer is heart disease. Number two is cancer. Number three and four is medical mistakes and prescription drugs. Do you know that, I had a lady call me the other day and she said, I need deliverance. She said, I take almost 870 pills a month. And I was telling another friend and she said, well, my husband takes about 800 a month. I said, dear Lord, no wonder they're sick, because every drug has side effects. That's another disease. And so my friend asked somebody in the medical profession, does everyone take 800 pills? She said, oh, there's people that take more than that. I said, dear Lord, no wonder they're sick. Fear exposes a sin or something in your conscience that's not clear. 1 John 3:21 says, this is the confident, no, it says, if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. And that confidence means faith and trust in God. It also means freedom of speech. I mean, I learned this when I was a pastor of a church. There would be some people I could just talk and correct. It'd be other people that'd be like a wall. I knew I better not, because God was trying to show me something about my own life. So fear exposes an area of your conscience that's not clear. 1 John 3:21 says that. Fear causes you to bury your talent. You know, Jesus gave a parable of a man who went on a journey, and he gave one of his slaves 5 talents. He gave another 2 talents, another 1 talent according to their ability. And the one who had 5 talents was productive. He took that 5 and made more, 5 more, so he had 10. The one that had 2, he was productive. He gave the Lord 2 more for 4. And the one who had 1 talent said, "Oh, I saw you as a hard, stiff, stern man, and I went and buried your talent. I saw you as a person that reaps where you don't sow and gathers where you scatter no seed. And I went and buried your talent." And this is what Jesus said to him. It says, For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does not have shall be taken away, and cast out that worthless slave into outer darkness, in that place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Fear causes you not to produce what God has for you to do. God has a work for each of us to do, and he's given each of us different abilities. The saddest thing in all the world would not be for me to not be a success in the world. The saddest thing for me to stand before the Lord and him say, "Jerry, I wanted so much for you, but you missed it." That would be the worst thing that I can imagine that would ever happen to me. Fear of man brings a snare. Fear of man is what will cause you to deny Christ rather than be killed. Fear of man will cause you to say, "Yes, I'll renounce Christ because I don't want to be killed." Jesus said, "Don't fear those that can kill your body. Fear those that can fear me because I can put your body and your soul in hell." Fear of death subjects you to slavery your whole life in Hebrews 2. It says that Jesus delivered us from the fear of death that would subject us to slavery our whole life. So if you're living in fear, you're in slavery to a demon of fear, demons of fear. You know, it's not only fear of dying physically, but it's fear of dying to your flesh, fear of giving up your idols, fear of giving up your life, fear of giving up your love relationships, fear of giving up your illicit sex, fear of giving up your alcohol, fear of giving up your house, your land, your kids. The Lord showed me that one reason that people fear dying and death is because they know they've wasted their life and they don't want to stand, they know they're not ready to stand before the Lord. So they run and try to find some man to fix them. Fear makes the devil bigger than he is. Fear enslaves us and becomes our master. You know, Adam and Eve, it says they were naked and they were unashamed and they had no fear until sin entered the garden, till they got into rebellion. Because the Bible says perfect love casts out fear, but fear has torment. And he who fears has not been perfected in love. And this, here are some doorways to fear. Generational. You know, the sins that your forefathers committed, you know, if your forefathers had fear and they don't deal with it, it just comes down the generations to the third and fourth generation until somebody stands in the bloodline and breaks it. African Americans, I've discovered, have a lot of fear because of what happened to them in slavery. At the Beaumont Seminar, there was a precious African American lady, and she said, "When I came to the seminar," she said, "I had pain all over me." And so we prayed and all of it left, but she had one, she said, "My ankle still hurts a little bit." And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge that she had a forefather in slavery that was strung up by his heel. And when she forgave the people that abused her forefather, her ankle was immediately healed. And so, and then how that would relate to white people is if we had forefathers that tortured and abused slaves, what you do to other people comes back on you more later in the same thing. So we have to deal with the pain of our forefathers. We have to deal with the fear of our forefathers. Was your mother and daddy fearful? Was your whatever? And you have to break generational curses. Fear comes in through breaking covenant with the Lord. In Leviticus 26, it says if we break covenant, and of course in the New Testament, we keep covenant by obeying, by loving the Lord with all of our heart and our neighbor as ourselves. But if we break covenant in Leviticus 26, it says that you'll stumble over each other and fall and as if running by the sword and the sound of a driven leaf, even a leaf shaken on a bush, you'll run when nobody's even chasing you. And that's a curse. Another doorway of fear is distrust of authority. You know, maybe your parents made you do things that were made you afraid or forced you to do things that were afraid. Or maybe you couldn't trust your mother. You couldn't trust your father. Your daddy was a liar. Your mother was a liar. You couldn't trust authority. So the lie is because parents model for us a picture of what God's like, we think God's just like our earthly parents. And that's one reason. Say you had to grow up taking care of yourself and you hear all this stuff that's coming on with the one world's orders coming and all this stuff that's coming down upon the earth and you're scared to death because if I have to take care of myself, mom and dad didn't take care of me, if I have to take care of myself, oh dear Lord, I can't take care of myself. And so believers are hysterical because of the dysfunctional way they grew up with parents that didn't protect them. I had the advantage of a mom and dad that protected me, so I know the difference. But when you don't have a dad or you don't have a mother there to protect you or to guide you or to lead you in the right way, the lie is God's not going to help me. He's not going to direct me. He's not going to leave me. He's going to abandon me too. So you had parents that were controlling and angry and abusive and parents that sexually molested you. You have to forgive. All of those things have to be dealt with because that gives you a demonic fear of God. Now, that's not blaming everything on mom and dad, but I had someone email me once and say, well, you know, if it wasn't, why do I repent if a person was sexually abused, why do I have to repent of that? It's not your fault you were sexually abused, but your wrong response by letting the sun go down on your anger, that's what you've got to repent of. And this is not to blame your mother or blame your father, but let me tell you something. The sins of the fathers pass on to the children, to the third and fourth generation. Not being protected growing up. Being born out of sight of God's refuge. You know, Psalms 91, if mother and daddy were under dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, and then we're under their authority and we're born there, we're born under God's refuge. But most of us, even having parents that were believers, were outside of God's refuge, out there where the fiery darts fly. So we need to come into God's refuge. People that had to be the mama or had to be the daddy because mom was irresponsible or incompetent or whatever, they just have a do-it-myself mentality. I have to take care of myself, raise myself, and I don't know how to do it, but I trust me more than I trust them. Being swallowed up due to fearful childhood experiences, turning into a false refuge rather than turning to God, and we make drugs and alcohol and sex and whatever a false refuge, food, being verbally, sexually, emotionally, physically abused. These are doorways to fear. You had to be perfect. Mother and daddy wanted you to be perfect, and so I can't make a mistake. So I'm afraid that if I do anything, what I do is procrastinate because I'm afraid every time I would make a mistake, I'd get lambasted. Well, why'd you do this? You should have done that. So it causes me to be procrastinate. Fear of making a mistake. Letting the sun go down on your anger. Fear you won't be perfect. Every time I let the sun go, if Carla hurts my feelings, and she doesn't, we have a great relationship, but say she hurts my feelings and I don't forgive her by sundown, I may say, well, I just won't share with her anymore. I just made a vow and turned to a false god. Do you see that? I let the sun go down on that hurt, and if you don't go to God in your hurt, you're going to something else, is that right? Well, I just won't talk to her anymore. Well, I'll just ignore her next time I see her, or... You know what I'm talking about. You've all done it. We've all done it. 1 John 4:8 says, There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment, and he that fears is not perfected in love. Now, the perfect love that casts out fear, we've already shared that it is that perfect trust that God knows what you need, if you need it, what he wants you to do in this world, because his plans and purposes cannot be thwarted. God's got a plan for you, and it cannot be thwarted. And if you're submitted to him, yielding under the lordship of Jesus, you couldn't miss God if you tried. Because he's the potter and you're the clay. And the potter does all the work. All you have to do is stay on the potter's wheel. Now, Abraham had the perfect love, and we've talked about Abraham before. In Genesis 22, Abraham, God tells him to go sacrifice his only son. And so he tells his servants, my son and I are going to go up the mountain and we're going to worship and we'll come back. You see, he knew that because God had told him that he was going to be the father of many nations, he believed God. Even if he killed his son, God was able to resurrect his son. And just as he started to kill his son, God said, no, no, Abraham, now I know you fear God. You see, if you don't fear God, you're going to fear everything else. So Abraham was the perfect example of the perfect love that cast out fear. So when we take our idols, everything we fear is an idol, and around every idol, you know you have an idol if you fear you're going to lose it, or if you don't have it, you fear you'll never get it. And around every idol is just hundreds of other demons, depression, discouragement, hurt, anger, bitterness, because you didn't get it or you should get it, or it's all tied in. So when we take our fears up the mountain and just give them to God, Lord, if it glorify you the most for me never to be a success in this world, long as I'm a success in your world and long as you're glorified, that's all I want. Now, if you don't live to please God and you're not living for his glory, this isn't good news for you. But I'm going to tell you, you can overcome every fear in your life by taking it up the mountain. When we trust in something or somebody, Satan has the legal right to bring all kinds of demonic things upon you. Fear. That opens the door. You know, today, we prayed for my friend. I had told my friend, I said, I'm going to try to get about 6 or 7 people together to pray for you today because she's in a terrible situation. Fear, anxiety, and stress that she's lived under these past months, taking care of a husband that couldn't do anything for himself. And now it's, but anyway, I thought that was wonderful of the Holy Spirit to speak to Kyle's heart about having a prayer meeting. I couldn't believe it. I didn't talk to him about it either. He did it. God did it. Deuteronomy 32:16 says that they made him, the people of God, made God jealous with strange gods, with abominations. They provoked him to anger. And so we have to die to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. In John 12, he said, you have to give up your life to find it. It says in John 12:24, verily I say unto you, except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. So if you want to be a fruitful Christian in this world, you have to keep on denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following him. And can I tell you that if you don't do that, you're not going to go to heaven. You're going to be shocked in eternity. Because Jesus said that's the only way you're going to follow him. There's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. And the more narrow it gets, the more you walk with God, the more narrow it seems to get. Galatians 5:22. It says, if we lose our life, in John 12, it says, if you lose your life, you'll find it, but if you hold on to your life, you'll lose it. So what is your life? Is it wanting people to love you? Is it wanting to be a success in the world? Is it wanting to have riches? Is it wanting to have fame, fortune, social position, social standing, accolades, recognition? What is the thing that's your life? What is it? Is it Jesus? If it's Jesus, the Bible says that our life is hidden with God in Christ. And we have to let go of our life if we want to find it. And you'll never, ever, ever, over. I don't care how many deliverance ministers you have. I don't care if they try to rebuke fear till their tongue hangs out. If you don't give up your life, you will never overcome fear. Ever. You know, Carla gave you a bunch of things like unforgiveness. She said, well, you don't have a demon problem. You have an unforgiveness problem. Can I tell you the tormentors, that word in the Greek means demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. It means inquisitor. An inquisitor stretches somebody out on a rack and he tortures them until he gets what he wants. And sin is behind all of our problems. It's behind all of my problems. Galatians, when you let go of your life, then the character and nature of Jesus is produced in you, which is the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, which is the opposite of fear. But you can't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit till you let go of your life, die to yourself, so that Jesus can live his life through you. As long as we're living our life through us, we're having to strive to try to be all those things. And it's the character and nature of Jesus. It's not your character. It's not your nature. Our nature is not good. David prayed this prayer, or he said, made this statement. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies, even my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host encamp about me, my heart will not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I shall be confident. So if you want to give up your life and get rid of your fear, why don't you stand up and ask the Lord to show you. Every fear is an idol, because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Lord, in Jesus' name, and I want you to just take all of these fears, which are idols, each one of them separately, up the mountain, if you really mean it, and tell God to let you have it or don't have it, whatever would bring him the greatest glory and honor. But devil, you can't touch me in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to show me how to make an altar before you, to take these fears up the mountain and follow Abraham's example so that I can overcome this idolatry in my life. I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to let me know the truth that sets me free. And just sit down when you're through. I'll share this, what Bill Gothard shares this. He says, run into the roar. He said, an old lion that can't do anything, he chases the young prey into the woods where the young lions are laying there waiting. And then they kill the prey, and then they give the old lion some. So he says, when fear comes, don't run into the bushes where they can be eaten. Run toward the roar, because he can't do nothing. So, Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Show me how to run into the roar. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for fear, doubt, unbelief, living in fear, anxiety, and stress. Lord, I take all that up the mountain. If it would bring you the greatest glory and honor for all these bad things I fear and worry about to happen, so be it. The devil, you can't touch me, because I put my life in the hands of the potter, and because his plans and purposes cannot be thwarted, because I live for his glory and honor, I dare you think you could even touch me in Jesus' name. Let me say this before I forget. Now, if there's no fear there, God says you have not because you ask not. But I'm telling you how to deal when there's fear there. Because when there's fear, there's idolatry. But Jesus said, have you asked anything in my name? Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. This is just regarding fear. Lord, forgive me for not watching over my heart. Forgive me for planting garbage, fear, anxiety, stress, contention, strife, witchcraft, hysteria, addictions, murder, lust, perversion in my heart by not watching over my heart and by planting all these things in my heart. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me for listening to the wrong voices. Forgive me for not having the perfect love that casts out fear. Lord, would you stop the fight and flight mode that I've lived under that is causing cortisol to be produced in my body, poured out in my body to destroy my immune system. It'll also cause cell wall rigidity, which can cause eye problems. It can cause the cell walls of your eyes to be dry eyes because our glaucoma, where fluid builds up because it don't go in and out like it's supposed to, can cause constipation because of the cell walls hardening, which keeps the fluid from coming in to cause the bowel movements to be soft, and so can cause all of those things. Excessive amounts of cortisol also, when you eat, can produce hunger, where you eat more. So, Lord, I ask you to heal and restore my immune system. And I ask you to cause all of my glands, my pineal gland, my pituitary gland, my hypothalamus gland, my thymus gland, my thyroid glands, my adrenal glands, my endocrine system, all my glands to produce the proper amounts of chemicals, hormones, neurotransmitters, serotonin, endorphins, dopamine, and all the healthy stuff that I need to keep my body into balance. In Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me for being anxious for everything. Forgive me for having an image or an idea of what I have to be like to be acceptable in this world. Lord, forgive me for that sin, that idolatry. As long as you accept me, Lord, that's all that matters. And remind me of that, Lord, when nobody wants to be around me. Lord, forgive me that when I'm anxious, I haven't, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, made my request be known to you. So your peace, which passeth all understanding, will guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Forgive me for not keeping my mind and heart stayed upon you so I can live in perfect peace. Do you know what the word disease, dis-ease means? Dis means lacking or without. Ease means lacking or without peace. So disease means lacking peace in whatever area. So if we keep our hearts and minds stayed upon Him, do you think it's possible we can walk in divine health if we keep peace in every area of our life? Absolutely. If I share again, I'm going to share tomorrow on spiritual roots to diseases if I have another chance. If not, I'll do it the next camp. So you come. Now, Kevin, we hope you'll be here. Oh, Lord, forgive me for not turning from evil and not walking the highway of holiness. Forgive me for not pursuing peace with all men and the sanctification or holiness without which no man will see you, Lord. Forgive me for not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. Lord, I forgive my mother and father that they weren't under your refuge. And so I was just born out there where the arrows fly. And so, Lord, I come into your refuge. I run into the name of Jesus that's more real than this building. And I'm safe. And I want to stay there. Amen. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for the sin of fear, thy idolatry of fear. Forgive me for letting these demons stay in me through idolatry. God, I ask you to forgive me for worshiping false gods. rebellion, disobedience to your word and your commandments, which would cause my life to hang in doubt before me and no have assurance of my life and me to be in fear day and night and the sound of a driven leaf make me run when no one's chasing me. Forgive me, Lord, for not letting you lead me through wearing the yoke of Jesus. Forgive me for not wearing the yoke of Jesus through being submitted to your lordship so I get the yoke of slavery that causes my life to be dominated by a spirit of fear. God, in Jesus' name, I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut that yoke of fear off their necks in the name of Jesus. I break the power of the fear that's dominated their life in Jesus' name. And Lord, I forgive my parents for being incompetent. So I had to be the mama, the daddy, the one that was competent. Forgive me for pride and rebellion to authority. Forgive me for listening to what the devil says, having faith in what he says instead of your word. God, I ask you to forgive me for fear that would cause my heart to fail because of fear. I don't know if I read that earlier, but Luke 21:26, it says men's hearts will fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are going to come upon this earth. Forgive me for not having a clear conscience. Forgive me, Lord, that my heart has been condemning me. Forgive me for compromising. Forgive me for bearing my talent. Forgive me for procrastinating, fear of moving out, fear of going to make a mistake. Lord, if it glorify you the most for me to make a mistake on everything I do, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to straighten it all out. Forgive me for fear of man more than I fear you. I forgive my parents that they made me afraid of them by their anger and their rage. That's where fear of man comes in. Forgive me for fear of physical death, fear of letting go of my life. Forgive me for the fear of death that has subjected me to slavery my whole life. Forgive me for being out there looking for some man to save me when you're the only one that can save me. Forgive me for letting problems be bigger than they really are. Forgive me for thinking the devil can do anything that you don't let him do. Forgive me for being enslaved by fear. Forgive me for rebellion. Lord, I forgive my forefathers for abusing other people. I forgive every person, pray with me, that has abused my forefathers, touched them in an ungodly way, spoken evil of them. Lord, I ask you to break that generational curse in Jesus' name. Forgive me for breaking covenant with you, not loving you with my whole heart, mind, soul, body, my neighbors, myself. Y'all be repenting of these things. Forgive me for distrusting authority. I forgive my parents. I couldn't trust them. I couldn't depend on them. I forgive them for, Lord, forgive me for thinking they were stupid. I forgive them for being angry and controlling and wanting me to be perfect and not letting me make a mistake. I forgive them for slambasting everything I did if it wasn't what they thought. I forgive them for trying to conform me into their image instead of letting you conform them into your image. I forgive my parents that I had to be the mother and the daddy because my parents were irresponsible, incompetent, sick, drunk, gone. God, I forgive my parents for abandoning me. Lord, I've been swallowed up by life's circumstances. Forgive me for turning into a false refuge. Y'all repent. I forgive my parents... For verbally abusing me, mentally abusing me, physically abusing me, sexually abusing me, emotionally abusing me, mentally abusing me, being legalistic and making me be performance-oriented. And Lord, forgive me for all the times I've let the sun go down in my anger, turn to a false god. Forgive me for not having the perfect love that casts out fear. Lord, I take all the idols, all the fears that you've shown me up the mountain, and Lord, I put a knife to them. And I say, Lord, if it'd glorify you the most for those bad things to happen, let them happen, but devil, you can't touch me in Jesus' name. If it'd glorify you the most for me to have or have not, be weak or sick, healthy or well, rich or poor, dead or alive, successful or a failure, whatever would bring you the greatest glory and honor, loved or hated, rejected or accepted, valued or devalued, listened to or not listened to, so be it. In Jesus' name. The devil, you can't touch me. I'm in the hands of the potter. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to remove yokes of fear. I break the power of stiffness. I break the power of neck problems. I break the power of back problems. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of autoimmune diseases. I break the power of fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, torment. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. I command rebellion and antichrist spirits to go now in Jesus' name. I break the power of pride, arrogance, boastfulness, haughtiness, egotism. Fear I'm going to be killed. Fear I'm going to be hurt. Go in Jesus' name. Fear of failure. Go. Fear of disappointment. Go. Fear of not being a success. Go. Fear of not being loved. Go. Fear of not being accepted. Get out in Jesus' name. I break the power of all pain coming down to us from African American slavery and from what our forefathers did to the African Americans. We break the power of that. We break the power of vexation, hurt, grief, sadness, sorrow, unbelief, doubt, lies, lying. We break the power of every lying spirit. Every lying spirit that tells us that our mother and father, that God is like our mother and father. That is a lie. God is perfect. In Jesus' name, we break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. All spirits of hatred, self-hatred has to go. Self-rejection has to go. Fear of rejection, fear of failure, leave now in Jesus' name. Cough out, blow out. Go in Jesus' name. We break your power. We break the yoke of fear in Jesus' name. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Tell fear to go in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Every spirit that causes them to be afraid of everything, go in Jesus' name. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We worship you. We adore you. We thank you, Lord, that you inhabit our praises. We thank you, Lord. We break the power of compromise, double-mindedness, lust. Lord, you said we can pull down, uproot, and pluck out. And so I pull down, uproot, and pluck out every demonic seed that's been planted through movies, through internet, through television, through books, tapes, in Jesus' name. I break the power of fear in the name of Jesus. For Lord, you said, fear not and be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and uphold you with my righteous right arm in Jesus' name. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of... And I break the power of pride. I break the power of Leviathan. You will not work in here. I break the power of arrogance. Python, Leviathan, double-mindedness. You go now in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Amen. Love you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.